Good afternoon. Thanks for keeping it right here on WGN Radio. Welcome to the Winterest Business Lunch with me, Jisuki. Hope you had a fantastic weekend or made the best of it that you could. Let's start off the show with our markets expert, Brian Battle. He's the director at the Performance Trust Companies. Hi, Brian.
Good afternoon, G. How are you?
I am hanging in there. How are you doing?
All right. You
let me know how I should feel, because it seems that, you know, right now it feels like we're pretty stable. We're in the green, but I'm reading that we need to brace ourselves for more volatility.
I think that's right. You know, in we're all not feeling something that's typical. I mean, we have had extraordinary market volatility in the stock and in the bond market that we haven't seen since the 1930s. So this is a period of a lot of price action in a very, very short period of time. So what we've been through recently is a liquidity run where everybody just sold everything. Everybody just ran for the hill. Mm-hmm. They sold their stocks. They sold bonds just to raise money to be safe. And so that was met with extraordinary monetary policy. The central banks came in around the world, especially the U.S. Federal Reserve, and came in and started reestablishing liquidity facilities and buying money market funds just to calm everyone down. And then following on to that, then just at the end of last week, we had extraordinary fiscal policy where Congress came in and is going to spend $2.2 trillion of your and my money to stabilize the economy during this period when everybody's at home and not producing or consuming.
So, Brian, it didn't always correlate in the past couple of weeks when the Fed would step in. It didn't always calm the market. Sometimes it would make it, you know, the markets go deeper into the red, and then sometimes it didn't. So can you kind of explain why that doesn't always correlate?
Sure. So the Federal Reserve, all they can do is affect monetary policy. Their job is they have two job descriptions. One is a stable value of the currency and full employment. So, and the only thing the Federal Reserve can do is lower interest rates and buy bonds in the secondary market. So they have a hammer, and so they've hit every nail that they can see. And sometimes that is a confidence builder, like, wow, the Fed is there. And at other times, people will take that intuitively to say, oh my gosh, if they're doing everything that they can, this must be worse than I think. So the stock market has had its own reaction, and it's a reasonable reaction to say, I don't know what stocks are worth because I don't know when people are going to go out and buy again. Therefore, I don't know if the company is going to be profitable. Therefore, I cannot figure out what the stock is worth. So the stock market has been swinging around on the anticipated A, congressional ability to try and get us through this period when the U.S. economy is slowed down, the Federal Reserve or the Congress is going to go in there and spend money. And then B, when this actually ends, when it's safe for everyone to go out, when the virus phase has ended and we're all out of quarantine.
So, Brian, the question that we're getting from a lot of folks, including just right now from the 708, is what buying opportunities are there? Everyone is sort of wanting to know, when is it safer for them to jump back in? What are you telling your people?
Well, there's two things that have to happen. The first is we are right now. So the answer is, I'm not sure if it's the right time, and I'm not sure if it isn't, because we're in a period where this is all these things that are happening are unprecedented. I have to hand it to Congress. They did this the right way. They said we need to get the money into the economy, and we have to do it fast. We really need to get it to small business because they're the ones that are laying people off and don't have the ability to get through this interim period where nothing's going on. So Congress is smart, and they use the community banking sector as the policy conduit. So they're going to going to the community banks. So that, you know, good thing we don't live in Canada. There's only about five or six banks across all of Canada. In the U.S., we have about 5,000 banks and a lot more credit unions. And the Congress is going to use the community banking depository system to fund SBA loans, small business loans. So that's a fantastic solution to part of this problem, because guys in Washington don't know anything, but your local community banks knows who you are, knows your business, knows where it'd be most effective. So we're going to get this bailout, or we're going to get this rescue coming from community banks. So hug a banker if you see the community bank guy walking down the street, not the Wells Fargo guy, but the community banker. is going to be helping out the U.S. economy. To answer the question direct, so that's good news. So how long that happens is the execution risk. We know what Congress intended. How long does it take for money to get into the economy? So we could have some more down 1,000 points days. That's completely possible if we get bad virus news. We're up 500 points today. If you think that you're going to enter the market right now, be ready to be down another 5 or 6 or 10% even. Because year over year, let's take a little point of reference here. In the past year, so September 30th of 2019 to today, the S&P 500, which is a broad measure of the stock market, is only down 7%. So we have a giant global pandemic. We're shutting the economy down, and stocks are only down 7% year over year. Seems like a lot, but given the things that have happened, it doesn't seem like we sold off that much. So there's probably still room to the downside. But tomorrow, someone could say, oh, we found the cure for the virus, and then we'll be back up another 5,000 points. So we're in a highly uncertain time. If you're going to invest, you better be ready to absorb some of that risk because it's coming.
Well, thanks so much. That's good advice from Brian Battle, director at the Performance Trust Companies. Thanks so much for being with us today, Brian.
You're welcome, G.
To kick the week off, we always check in with Chicago innovation and tech and startup news with the folks over at Chicago Inno. Joining us today is Catherine Davis, who's the associate editor at Chicago Inno. Hi, Catherine.
Hey, G. How are you?
Hanging in there. How are you doing?
Doing well, you know, trying to keep busy with all my isolated time at home, but can't complain.
So many journalists are working from home and doing a great job at it. You know, we've been checking in. We were hoping, you know, that layoffs wouldn't happen across the board with all the new startups, but you have a couple of layoffs to report, right?
Yeah, so last week, one Chicago startup that had some layoffs is called Remote Year. And they're in a particularly difficult industry right now, that being the travel industry. You know, people aren't traveling right now. They're not booking new trips. And Remote Year's entire business was based on helping people work remotely. So essentially, they would organize like 6 month trips for people. You know, if you have a job where you can work anywhere in the world.
Oh, I remember this. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, I think
company.
We talked about them before.
Yeah, and it sounded so
in Remote
cool.
Year when, yeah, they do all the organizing to get you from one country to another, and you know, really give you an easy way to see the world with a group of other people. But last week they announced that they laid off about 50 employees, which is about half of their workforce. You know, really just citing the fact that coronavirus has stopped travel and that's stopped business for them.
Yeah, so this company wasn't one that facilitated necessarily communicating and working from home, but working from remote places all over the world. So that way you could actually travel and see the world if you could do a job that could be done from anywhere. Oh, that sounds very disappointing. Sorry to hear that. Another startup that, you know, from Chicago that people are very familiar with is Spot Hero, which helps you find parking spots for a much cheaper rate when you're somewhere that costs very expensive to park, like downtown or, you know, in the Loop. So what's going on over at Spot Hero?
Yeah, so Spot Hero announced last week that they laid off a portion of their workforce. They declined to disclose exactly how many employees, but, you know, earlier this month, Spot Hero told me they employed about 200 people. So, you know, not sure exactly how extensive the layoffs were there, but they had a very big team. And, you know, so far, before the coronavirus, had been growing pretty steadily as far as you know, our reporting showed they, you know, all-time sales had reached more than $500 million, and it was on pace to reach $1 billion in transactions by this year. So, you know, just sad to see that happen at Spot Hero. You know, they said that with commuting patterns changing so much, with people not going to work and going to, you know, all the places that they usually do and not needing parking as much, they've just seen like a 90% decrease in demand for parking.
Well, that makes sense. And people aren't having to drive to go to work because they're working from home. So, yeah, sorry to hear that. Wow. Okay. Let's move on to some happier tech news. There's a lot of Chicago tech companies that are really stepping up during this pandemic and trying to help.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, we ran a list last week. We were like, you know, we need some good news on the site. Things looking so doom and gloom. And it turned out that a lot of Chicago startups and tech companies have been reaching out to us, telling us how they are trying to help the coronavirus pandemic. So one of those companies is Uptake. They make predictive maintenance software. And what they're doing now is giving their software to free for companies that are moving fleets of essential items for coronavirus. So think things like food, personal wellness items, medical supplies, you know, the companies that the logistics companies that get all these products to everyone throughout the country, they now have this free software that helps them know when their machinery or their trucks are soon to fail, so that they can get in front of it and, you know, hopefully not cause any big delays for people getting access to items.
That seems very essential. We've been hearing about the supply chain and, in particular, getting the actual supplies to the locations they need to get to. Sitter City was mentioned last week by the mayor as a company that's also helping out.
Yeah, so Sitter City, they're a local tech company that's created like a babysitting finding platform. And they're waiving their fee for 3 months for their premium service to first responders and healthcare employees. You know, these are people that, unlike many of us who get the luxury of working from home, they still have to go into, you know, the hospital or the office and need childcare. You know, since lots of daycares have shut down, I think Sitter City wanted to step up and connect them with people who are still willing to provide childcare services during this time.
Speaking with Catherine Davis, Associate Editor at Chicago Inno. Catherine, something I've been hearing about from parents, the difficulty of school homeschooling and how it's mm-hmm. not easy. And there is a startup called Otis that's helping free e-learning for students.
That's right, yeah. So Otis, they're a local kindergarten through 12th grade ed tech company. And, you know, they just launched a free virtual school that has a variety of courses led by, you know, what they're saying are highly experienced certified teachers. And the idea is to give students access to language arts courses, math courses, STEM, fine arts, PE, really everything that you would get kind of in your normal school curriculum. But, you know, it's all digital and can be done from home.
Well, I love this list. There's an entire list on ChicagoInno.com of all the tech companies and startups that are helping, you know, during this horrible crisis right now. So pretty incredible to hear those stories. There's actually a logistics startup company that is raising money right now, which is pretty shocking.
Yeah, so this company, they're called Forager. I think we've talked about them on the show before, but basically what they do is they help companies with international shipping, particularly from Mexico and Canada to the U.S. So, you know, they, as we're always thinking about the supply chain right now and how to get people the essential things, Forager has created a platform that allows companies to book, track, and manage any of their loads between these three countries.
So,
and last week they... Oh,
go ahead.
And last week they raised $10 million, you know, to kind of continue on that mission. I mean, I think their product is pretty valuable right now in a coronavirus world. Something else to keep in mind, you know, you said it's kind of shocking to see a company still raising money. One thing to keep in mind is that this round was probably solidified before it got to the press, right? So, mm-hmm. This is probably something that maybe happened earlier this year, and now we're just hearing about it. You know, thinking about venture capital for the rest of the year, my personal prediction is it's probably going to slow down. Not sure investors aren't going to be, you know, giving out as much money if we're headed into an economic crisis, but what we still have yet to see.
Catherine, yeah, I did want to ask you about that, what you've been hearing from folks that are trying to get money from VCs and also trying to raise money. When do you think you're going to start seeing those stories about folks that have a fantastic idea but can't raise the money to actually start their business?
Yeah, so you know what's funny is my colleague Jim, he's working on a story about this right now, you know, just talking to some local investors around town and early stage companies about, you know, where does Chicago go from here? The interesting thing is in 2019, we had like one of our best years for raising venture capital as far as, you know, amount raised. And, you know, with the economic crisis, and, you know, people have been talking about a recession is inevitable. You imagine that a lot of that money dries up and founders are forced to start bootstrapping, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a handful of bootstrap companies in Chicago, but it's not really the norm. Most companies are raising VC It's all about growing quick, but if that's not there, you have to pivot and grow in a different way.
It seems so interesting. Before this happened, every time that I would talk with you and Jim from Chicago Inno, it was about all these stories that were trying to make Chicago as competitive as Silicon Valley or Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. Do you see that coming, to us, to a grinding halt at some point, or, that was the big push?
Right. Yeah. I think the advantage, from that perspective of how does Chicago remain competitive with other cities and states in the U.S. is that, coronavirus is everywhere. It's not just impacting Chicago. San Francisco tech companies, New York tech companies are experiencing a lot of the same things that we are here in Chicago. Unfortunately, I think you'll see a slowdown across the board. And so I'm not sure that, Chicago standing will change that much. I think it's really important for, founders and even investors to keep in mind how to, have plans in place to really accelerate once they're able to again. But competitively, I think everyone's going through the same thing and, just trying to do the best that they can.
Well, we're going to pivot a little bit here. I want to talk about, of course, a lot of folks are interested in meat alternatives or meat substitutes, and there's one locally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. So they're called Nature's Find. Until recently, they were known as sustainable bioproducts. You may have heard of them, but they're using a special fermentation process to produce lab-grown edible protein. Last week, they raised $80 million and opened a new Southside manufacturing facility where they're actually making products that mimic chicken nuggets and cream cheese. So, pretty interesting stuff here.
Wow, so this isn't something that's made up of like a meat alternative. It's like they're actually trying to produce lab-grown protein that's very similar to chicken?
Yes. It's a lot of science that I think I'm not totally great on, but, essentially they're creating their own kind of microscopic organisms.
Got it.
The interesting thing is that they are complete proteins. So unlike some other, meat alternative products, Nature Finds products have, 9 essential amino acids, so fiber, vitamins, calcium, all the things you need, to stay healthy.
Wow. So it's not like they're growing an entire chicken, but they are kind of growing a chicken nugget.
Exactly.
Okay, and it's called Nature's Find, and it's spelled FYND. Okay, well, thank you so much for being with us, Catherine. Your website is chicagoinno.com. Thanks so much, Catherine Davis, Associate Editor at Chicago Inno. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. Still trying to understand all the components of the $2 trillion aid bill that was just passed. And part of that is $350 billion that's set aside for the Paycheck Protection Program, which small businesses can apply for. Here to help break it all down and explain it to us is our expert on personal finance and real estate, Elise Glink. She's a CEO of Best Money Moves, and her website is thinkglink.com. Hi, Elise.
Hi, G. How's it going today?
We're doing great. It's the start of another week. We're making the best of it. How about
right.
you?
Well, I am diving in, as you said, to all of the details on what is going on with this newly named Paycheck Protection Program. This is the, as you mentioned, the $350 billion that was set aside in the new CARES Act for small businesses. And what's really interesting about this program is it isn't just for companies that have employees, but sole proprietors, independent contractors, gig economy workers, and self-employed individuals are also all eligible for this program.
Okay, so how do you break it down for us? What happens if you apply for it?
So this is formulated as a loan from the Small Business Administration, a 7A loan, as it happens, and you apply for it through the Disaster Relief Bill. And so the reason they're leveraging the 7A program is it's already existing. They already have the technology to push the applications to lenders So you won't get this loan, like with all Small Business Administration loans, you don't actually get it from the SBA. You get it from their network of lenders that do the processing. They're the retail side, and all of it is backed 100% by the Small Business Administration.
Elise, is there an employee cap on this?
So there is a cap on it. You're eligible for a loan if you're a small business that employs 500 employees or fewer, or if your business is in an industry that has an employee-based size standard that is higher than 500 employees, but that's sort of specific. If you're a restaurant, hotel, or a business that falls within the North American Industry Classification System, Code 72, this is where it gets complicated, you're eligible there as well, and each of your locations would be eligible if they have 500 employees or fewer, even if the grand total is larger. So that might be, let's say, a Dunkin' Donuts. If they have more people, but the individual, let's say one person has a franchise and they've got 15 franchises, maybe total is too many for the thing, but under this program, they would be eligible. So there's a lot of different nuances you want to be aware of.
I'm guessing that not everyone receives the same amount. How much money can you get?
So the maximum amount that you can borrow for any single small business is 250% of their average monthly payroll expenses, up to about $10 million. This amount is intended, according to the documents that were made public today, 8 weeks of payroll expenses and additional small amounts for other kinds of debt obligations or other expenses. And what's interesting is that the amount that can be forgiven is equal to the sum of expenses for payroll, existing payments on mortgages, rents, leases, utility agreements, other kinds of costs, hourly wages, other kinds of things for 2 months. So it allows you to borrow this money, and then the federal government intends to forgive the loan or almost all of the loan.
I think that's super important because I've been hearing from a lot of small business owners that the last thing they want to do is, because their margins are so small, profit margins, is that they don't want to incur even more debt.
Correct. They don't want to do that. And this is a very interesting and flexible program, and there would still be a little bit of debt, but what's nice about the terms is that there's the terms are going to vary, of course, but the interest rate will be capped at 4%, the 100% loan guarantee by the SBA, and there are no fees at all for the loan itself. Collateral requirements and personal guarantees are likewise waived, and loan payments are deferred for at least 6 months and up to a year after the origination of the loan. So it's really, they're trying to forgive everything about it as long as you keep people employed. And that's the important thing to point out here. Even if you've recently laid somebody off, if you get them back on board, 2 months of expenses for them would be covered under this new program. The goal is to keep as many people employed as possible.
So the loan is only forgiven as long as you are making sure that you're keeping people on payroll.
Correct. And they want to reimburse you. This is basically a big reimbursement program. So if you have 10 people on payroll, and you get a loan for 2 months, right, for 250% of what the average payroll is for you in a given month, what they're going to do is forgive that loan, which basically would cover a little more than 2 months of payroll for you. And they're trying to keep people employed during these next, 8 to 10 weeks, because I don't know if you saw what the Fed said today, but of course they're now looking at unemployment rates of as much as 32%. And I just want to, I'm sure you've stressed this with your other experts, but this is just unprecedented. We don't know what kind of economic damage long-term this is going to cause, but it's very, very severe.
So where do people go to find more information on this loan and to apply for it?
Right. So where you want to start is SBA.gov. And there's a yellow bar right at the top of that website, SBA.gov. It says coronavirus, COVID-19, apply for an economic injury disaster loan. And you click on that. There is an application. It tells you what the streamlined process requirements are. and it walks you through what you have to do in order to qualify. And it's a little bit complicated. You're going to need some tax numbers, tax return, other information to be able to go through. And it's a little bit convoluted, right? Sometimes government forms are not so easy to understand. So I encourage you to keep at this. In a day or so, once you pull together the different pieces of information you need, you'll be able to get through that process. If you already work with a lender on an SBA loan, you'll want to talk to them immediately. All of the data was transmitted to the different lenders over the weekend. I talked to an SBA lender this morning. They're all starting to process that information, and they will be able to answer your questions probably in the next day or two. So if you're already working with an SBA lender, that's who your point of contact should be. Otherwise, the SBA will refer you to different lenders, and you should talk to as many of them as you can.
Invaluable information. Thank you so much, Elise, for being with us. And of course, your website is thinklink.com, and you still have a lot of resources also available there. A lot of them for free, right?
We do. We also have a lot of information for employers at bestmoneymoves.com, bestmoneymoves.com, which is the company website. And just go to the blog. We're posting a lot of this information there with links so that you as an employer of a small business or a large business, you can get the information you need to your own people as quickly as possible.
Thanks, Elise. A lot more coming up after this. Thanks so much for listening to Wintrust Business Lunch today. Joining us now is WGN Radio's very own Amy Guth, part of the show where we talk about trending business stories. Hi, Amy.
Hi, G. How are you today?
Fantastic. What do you have going on? I know you're busy.
Well, we all are. This is just the way it is these days. So, you know, one positive note. There's so much grim news about numbers going down or numbers we don't want to go up going up. But here is a story from the University of Chicago said that it would provide $2 million in support to neighborhoods grappling with the coronavirus. They're going to spend $1 million starting today to direct funding and support towards feeding Southside residents using their dining facilities to prep meals, and they're working with Greater Chicago Food Depository. They're aiming to provide about 225,000 meals over 10 weeks through June 12th. So that is part one. And then part two is they're directing another $1 million towards businesses and nonprofits in the nearby neighborhoods surrounding the school, specifically making grants up to $7,500 available to independently owned and operated businesses, and then another $7,500 grant and assistance for certain nonprofits to cover the cost of shifting online, because that's what a lot of companies have done. They've had to suddenly find a bunch of digital tools and have someone to run it and all that. So University of Chicago has stepped up with this $2 million gift to help the community right there around the school, which I think is such a heartwarming story in the middle of really difficult and sometimes really challenging news, sometimes very grim news. You know, these stories of companies and individuals that are stepping up, I think, are really important to also surface right now.
That's incredible. And those are the stories that keep me going. So thanks for sharing that. Very great of UFC, especially since they have such a huge footprint there in the South Side as well. You've got some news on Abbott Labs, too.
Yeah. So Abbott Labs, they have a coronavirus COVID-19 test that takes about 24 hours. And what they've said now is they have received FDA approval to now make a 5-minute COVID-19 test, and they plan to start distributing them around the country next week. What they say is this test, it runs on an existing portable Abbott platform. So hospitals and healthcare centers wouldn't need new infrastructure or necessarily a lot of new training to do this. It would work pretty quickly in urgent care, emergency departments, things like that. They say they'll be able to make 50,000 tests available per day. It delivers positive results in 5 minutes and negative results within 13. So if we think about the kind of demand that states are asking for testing, Governor Pritzker said just yesterday they're aiming to test 10,000 people per day, and where he's got that number is the idea that if the state is able to test that many people, he and other public health officials will have a really good sense of whether or not containment efforts are working and whether or not more is needed. So he's asked Abbott to prioritize Illinois, and that's, I think, very, very good news. There's a lot of conversation around testing from the beginning. This has been a big component of the conversation around the COVID-19 outbreak. So look for, watch Abbott in the coming days. They're still going to make the 24-hour test. They say that they're going to be producing about 5 million of those 24-hour tests per month starting this week, so starting for April. So they'll be handling a lot of that, and that's Abbott that's based right here in North Chicago.
That's incredible. Of course, their stock is up today as well, I think, because of this. Because all we've been hearing is that there's not enough tests, and then also once you do get tested, it takes so long for you to get the results. So this is fantastic. We've got time for one more story, Amy.
Well, how about something other else that's really good news? Busch Beer is giving 3 months worth of beer to people who adopt or foster a dog during the coronavirus crisis. Now, I don't need to be bribed with beer, but so they're working through Midwest Animal Rescue in Minnesota. And because so many animal shelters have had to close their doors to the public, they're canceling adoption events, you know, where they bring all the puppies to like a street fair or something, but nothing has stopped stopped animals from coming in. There's a lot of, you know, animals that need homes all the time. And so shelters are trying to figure out a way to place animals quickly. And this is how they've come up with that. So Busch Beer has teamed up with Midwest Animal Rescue to launch this. I mean, I don't need beer. I don't need 3 months worth of beer to be persuaded to let a dog in my house. I would love to take all the puppies in the world, but, The spokesperson said social distancing is better with a furry friend by your side and a cold beer in your hand. So there you go. If you want beer and a dog, Midwest Animal Rescue and Busch Beer has got your back.
So how much beer?
3 months.
Wow. Okay. So I guess, is there an average of a beer for 3 months?
I know.
You know, some people probably drink more than other people, and especially during these trying times.
I know, right? Like, I wonder how are you defining 3 months of beer? They're doing this for up to 500 people. So we'll see, you know, if some people are like, I can keep the beer. I just want the dog. That'd be fine. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really a beer person. I'm more of a wine and bourbon gal, right? So, so I'm like, I don't need the beer. I just, you know, I'll just take the dog, maybe a little wine, a bottle of wine in my way out. But, I think that's a fun story of a way people are trying to encourage animals. And we see this on social media. I personally follow a lot of people that have said, hey, I decided to foster this buddy, you know, during this. And I'm so glad. I think it's really been a boost to mental health. People that are really feeling kind of cooped up, to have an animal friend with you during that time. Of course, I think when all this is over, there's going to be a lot of dogs with a lot of, abandonment issues and a lot of anxiety, because I'm sure all the pets are loving having their humans home right now.
Absolutely. Nothing better than having a fur baby best friend right now. Thanks so much being with us, Amy Guth. Stay safe and healthy.
Thanks, G. You too.
The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.